The only thing I'll say in Arabic is أنا مش قادر أتكلم عربي. I'll only speak English. yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, I didn't know what to say preparing a talk for tonight. There's no guide, you know. It's not like a Sunday sermon when you have the gospel and it's easy to, or at least there's something to think about. So I thought what to talk about today would be three quick points. The first one being that this is a new church. So what is the purpose of a church? Okay, and what should be the guiding principle of a church? The second point is a message for myself. What is the role of the priest in that? And the third is a message for the congregation. What is the role of the congregation in that? So the first thing, the first question is, so what is a church? What is the purpose of a church? And I mean, the first obvious principle of a church is that it's a place to come and worship God. It's a place for believers to come and worship. And more than that, it's a place for people to come and become holy. So C.S. Lewis, I'll read you a quick quote from C.S. Lewis on this first purpose. It is easy to think that the church has a lot of different objects: education, building, missions, holding services. Just as it is easy to think the state has a lot of different objects: military, political, economic, and whatnot. But in a way, things are much simpler than that. The state exists simply to promote and to protect the ordinary happiness of human beings in this life. A husband and wife chatting over a fire, a couple of friends having a game of darts in a pub, and a man reading a book in his own room or digging in his own garden. That is what the state is for. And unless they are helping to increase and prolong and protect such moments, all the law, parliaments, armies, courts, pot police, economics are simply a waste of time. In the same way, the church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christs. If they are not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose. So the very first purpose of a church is to create little Christs, is to, for people to come and worship and to become holy together. The second purpose of the church, or another purpose, which stems a little bit further than that, is an Anglican archbishop talks about this all the time. He's a Pauline scholar, and he says that the church has two main purposes: to worship God and to work for his kingdom, is to build his kingdom. Again, I'll read you a quick quote. This will be the last quote. The point of the resurrection is that the present bodily life is not valueless just because it will die. What you do with your body in the present matters because God has a great future in store for it. What you do in the present by painting, preaching, singing, sewing, praying, teaching, building hospitals, digging wells, campaigning for justice, writing poems, caring for the needy, loving your neighbor as yourself, will last into God's future. These activities are not simply ways of making the present life a little less beastly, a little more bearable, until the day when we leave it behind. They are a part of what we may call building for God's kingdom. So everything we do is for the future of the whole entire world, is for God's kingdom. And he goes on to ask the question, if not now, if we don't do this now, then when will we do it? And he says, if not us, then who will do it? Then who will do it? If it's not the church who's leading the way in shining to the light, the way to God's kingdom, then who is going to do it? No one is going to do it. And in a little community like this in the entrance, the central coast, who will bring God's light to the world besides a little church like this? So that's the purpose of our church, is to create little Christs and to bring God's kingdom to the place, at least to our local community, at least. The second question then is what's the role of a priest in this? Okay, and that's a lesson for me. And seemingly it's a very big task when that's the purpose of the church. But I think it's simple yet very difficult all at the same time. Because I think the priest's main role in this is simply to maintain holiness, to maintain a relationship with God. That's his main purpose. All these other ideas that we come up with are good, but the sole thing we need to do is keep holy in ourselves, have a relationship with Christ. And I'll give an example of what I mean by this type of holiness. I was reading in the 40 days that we were training for the priesthood in the monastery, I was reading a book about the French Revolution, specifically about the clergy and the holy people that were killed in the French Revolution for their faith. And I mean, there's lots of inspiring stories in the book, but one particular one really touched me. It was about a group of clergy, about 800 men. They were put into two boats to be deported. Okay, the boat is supposed to hold about 100 people each boat. And they put them in the boats, and instead of deporting them, they just left them anchored. Left them just there for 1 year, just to see how they could survive there. And in that time, of course, epidemics broke out between them. The guards were very cruel to them. They would shoot them if they even looked like they were starting a sedition. They would they wouldn't give them proper food. The place where they were sleeping, they described it as a place where they couldn't breathe. If I lifted my head, I'd bruise my head. So they're just lying there in a very small spot, 400 people fitting where only 100 could fit. And then the thing that touched me about these men is that they created a code of conduct for themselves in this time. They wrote up a code of conduct and said, we must abide by this code of conduct. One, never to complain. Two, never to discuss their experiences if they survive this. Three, if they find out they're being set free, don't shout out for joy. Four, don't reclaim what was taken from you. Five, don't take vengeance on the people that persecuted you. And there was a few more as well. And I thought, how can someone have such a code of holiness in their lives that even in the midst of that kind of suffering, they create that code for themselves? And then to take it even further, the revolution collapsed. And so there was news that the people that were persecuting these people were being tried. And so the people persecuting them went to them, went to these priests. And of the 800, only about 200 survived. They said to them, write us a letter saying that we were good to you so that they don't kill us. And so these priests said, one, we can't lie. And two, we're still in prison. And they begged them. So they wrote a letter. These priests wrote a letter saying that these men were under orders and that's why they treated us like this. And as soon as they found out they didn't have to treat us cruelly, they took pleasure in not treating us cruelly. And those men were not executed because of that letter. And I thought to myself, these clergy, 800 men, and many more that gave up their lives for the sake of the church, were from small communities, they were from big communities, they were from all walks of life. Might not have been acknowledged for their holiness. But when the time came, they could give up their lives, and they could not just give up their lives, but they could forgive, and they could live by a code of conduct, even under extreme circumstances. And then I thought to myself, I mean, it's something that made me think that the level of holiness that we are called to, And then I thought, so the third question then is, what's the role of the church in this? Or the congregation. This is a lesson for you. And so you guys don't get off that easily. Like, it's really hard for what the priest has to go through. But it's the same call. The congregation, there's no difference in the call. That same level of holiness is expected of the congregation. So I'll give you an example. And I decided to pick, I mean, there's lots of examples that I could come up with. But there was one particular about a layman. A layman in Japan, a Japanese Catholic saint. He lived in Nagasaki. Now, if you know a little bit about history, there was two atomic bombs that went off, one in Hiroshima, one in Nagasaki. Nagasaki is a Christian village, okay? And the story goes that when they went to drop the bomb, because of cloud cover, they couldn't drop it on its intended target, so they had to go for Nagasaki, a Christian village. And, of course, many died. And one particular layman at the time was a guy called Takashi Nagai. He was a radiologist, and he was like a leader of the community. He lost his wife. He lost all his life savings. He lost everything in the bomb. And after the bomb, but he survived. After the bombing, they were in the church and they were thinking about why did this happen to us? And he was called upon to give a sermon. So he didn't know what to say. And then what struck his mind as he was looking around was the charred bodies, the blackened bodies from the bomb. And then he thought to himself, and he said this, that we as a Christian community, as a pure Christian community, were given as an unblemished sacrifice to God for the sake of finishing this war and the sufferings of the people around us. That was his perspective. And of course, a lot of people were upset with him for that imagery. But he was a layman who understood that his suffering was for the sake of the rest of the world. And that's the same mentality we have to have as a church, that we sacrifice ourselves for the sake of the world, for our community and for the sake of the whole world. So the church's purpose is to create holy people that spread the light of Christ to the whole community. The role of a priest and for the congregation is to maintain that holiness so that God can work through us. So that and to a holy level that people see it or not, it's there. It's there. And that was the message that I took from it, and I think is for all of us today, is that we need to strive to a level of holiness that we can give up our lives for the community around us. Glory be to God.